From Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from hence to yonder place,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And also from Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is what we hold to, the things that we believe in the absence of the evidence. And that assurance and that conviction, I would suspect, ebbs and flows. How much faith do we need? A mustard seed's worth, as it turns out. The Greek word gnosis, spelled with a G, G-N-O-S-I-S, is translated into English more or less as knowledge, as in things that we can come to know through study, through investigation. Agnosis, putting an A in front of it, means unknowable, and it is translated into English agnostic. The opposite of the agnostic is the zealot, the one who believes what he or she believes regardless of the evidence, and simply as a result of the leadership of others perhaps, and the extreme of that would be martyrdom or even doing violence to others in the name of one's unprovable faith. So zealotry and agnosticism are two ends of a continuum. The unknowable agnostic does not deny the existence of God, but simply says there's really no way to be sure, there's no way to understand. It is unknowable. Well, I think most of us, most of the time, are someplace on that continuum at one point or another. One of the survey questions we ask our student respondents in our research is, how strong is your faith, would you say? Is it very strong, moderately strong, neither strong nor weak, weak, very weak, or even non-existent? Well, I think the answer to that question for all of us would be somewhere in the middle, but would vary depending on perhaps our life stage or circumstance. There are agnostic days, more or less, in our lives. And so this morning I want to address these comments when the pendulum of faith swings toward agnostic, when grief or guilt or fear or anger push us toward what we think we can't know in the face of what seems overwhelming. I suppose in one sense we could call back to mind pictures of the Grand Canyon or the Bluebonnets, which come and go each year, or in some way in the beauty of nature say, well, this can't have happened by accident. Certainly not. But of what use is that when the chips are down? And when we are finding the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen a little less sure. I teach this honors class called Religion and Health in American Society, and much of what we talk about, and many of my students are students of great faith, much of what we talk about involves the tension between faith and science. And I was having a conversation this week. All of my students came in for individual appointments relating to their term papers, and I was going to try to help them move their thinking along so that they could put together a nice piece for the end of the term. One of the students who came by this week is a young woman who's a pre-med, and also a woman of great faith, as it were. And so we were talking about what she was planning to do with the paper and what else she was doing in her studies and so on. And it turns out she's taking a lot of chemistry this semester. Well, we started talking about how to plan for taking organic chemistry next term and how molecular models really help you learn a lot about chemistry. And then I remembered the insight that actually started with me in fifth grade science but was reinforced in those couple of years in college when I was in fact a chemistry major, that if you look at the structure of an atom, electrons revolving around a nucleus, and the way molecules are put together, these are more or less the smallest things that we can more or less get our heads around. The structure of the atom and the structure of one of the largest things that we can get our heads around, the solar system and by extension the universe, the structure of both are exactly the same. And we were talking about that a little bit And I made the point that in some ways, the more we know about science, the more we find our faith oddly strengthened. If the smallest thing we can imagine and the largest thing we can imagine are structurally equivalent and held together by the same forces, maybe that helps when the pendulum swings toward agnostic. This couldn't have happened by accident, it would seem. And so this young woman said, well, do you know about laminin? What do I know from laminin? I have no idea what laminin is. Oh, it's this wonderful thing. And she said, I'll send you the link to a video of this preacher in Atlanta that's got this whole sermon about laminin. A really good sermon, as it turns out, and I'll send you the link. Laminin is a protein. It's what's called a cell adhesion protein. It's the protein in every single cell in our bodies that holds the cell together. It holds the very fiber of our being together. Laminin, the cell adhesion protein. This, and you can find it all over the internet, is a diagram of what laminin looks like. The very fiber of our being, the thing that holds our cells together, is in the shape of a cross. And much is made of this, and the link to the sermon about this is very profound and very moving in lots of ways. But this couldn't have happened by accident, could it? That the very thing that holds our cells together is the unique feature of Christianity. It's the one thing that holds what in many ways is ideologically fragmented, the different parts of who Christians are, denominations and congregations and so on. At its essence, however, is the cross. Jesus was put on the cross for the purpose that God designed to draw us all together. And oddly enough, the same symbol holds every cell in our bodies together. This couldn't have happened by accident. An insight, perhaps, an image, something to remember when the pendulum of faith swings toward agnostic. Well, we really do have choices. And of course, anytime something hits the internet to this degree that has this much to do with faith, you have skeptics. You have agnostics who said, well, you know what? That structure of laminin may look like a cross, but from this point of view, it looks rather like a sword. We get to pick. We get to pick a mustard seed's worth of faith, a remnant of a mustard seed's worth of faith, perhaps, when the chips are down, when the guilt or the grief or the anger or the fear begins to take over. When circumstances in our lives place in front of us a mountain over which we cannot climb, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from hence to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Note the subtlety. It doesn't say if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, go away. It simply says, move it from here to there. Move it even a mustard seed's worth of faith strength from hence to yonder place, such that there may be the inbreaking of a bit of light. That's all it takes to get you through. Perhaps it's the memory of wildflowers. Perhaps it's a reawakening of the insight that the smallest of those things we can imagine and the largest of those things we can imagine are structurally identical. That couldn't have happened by accident. And then there's the laminin story. That which holds us together cellularly holds us together communally. And perhaps that's just enough of an awakening of faith as a grain of mustard seed to move when the pendulum swings toward agnostic, the mountain from hence to yonder place, and we're left with hope because it couldn't have happened by accident. Amen.